ExoJet announces its second blockbuster aircraft purchase of the week at NBAA. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. This is going to sound a little bit like deja vu, but I'm here with Paul Tao, who is the CEO of ExoJet, and with Nick Solinger, who is the Chief Strategy Officer for the company. And I know we just talked to these guys a couple of days ago, but then they went around and made some huge news the very next day. Paul, welcome back.
Well, hello. How are you?
Well, I'm good, but you're better. Let's talk about your week. On Monday, Cessna announced that you had bought 30 more Citation 10s from them, and everybody kind of went, ooh. And then Tuesday, we found out that you had – Nick actually bumped into me in the hall and said, hey, we just made another deal, and my jaw was hanging down. $1.9 billion, 20 aircraft now with an option for 60 more. And they are Bombardier Challenger 300 jets. This is a big jet, and from what I understand, this is simply an extension of your existing business model into a larger class of aircraft. Tell us how this came about.
Well, it actually was 9 months in the making. So it was a tremendous amount of research that we did on all of the aircraft in that category, as well as some in larger categories. We were looking for an incredibly efficient airplane with airline industrial strength, maintenance capabilities, and the Challenger 300 really is something that has a lot of those capabilities. It's a modern platform, new avionics system, something that we can grow into and stay with for a very long time because it's really the latest and greatest technology. So it's also a fantastic complement to our Citation 10 line, which is the Ferrari of the industry. So you've got, you know, a Ferrari and a Mercedes, if you will. So it makes for an excellent combination from our standpoint. But very excited about having both aircraft in fleet.
All right. Now, one of the kind of sidebars of this story that to me was as significant as anything else in it is how the financing is being put together, because you've drawn in TPG as a partner on this, and they are known primarily for being part of acquisitions on the scale of trying to buy part of Qantas. Tell us, I have to ask you this question. Did they first come into contact with you by being a customer?
They did, in fact, come into contact with us as a customer. They had been a customer of the fractional space. They also own a few aircraft. They charter, and we had been, as luck would have it, one of their best operators. We'd had a great experience with them. And so when we hired Morgan Stanley to help us, you know, develop the capital structure and raise what is a substantial amount of money to get these kinds of operations off the ground, TPG found out there were some relationships there. They asked for an early look, and it wasn't but within about 2 weeks after they saw the business plan, they immediately wanted to be in, and we struck. They put a term sheet off on the table, and you know, the rest was history. So I think that they are enormous investors, you know, making usually multi-billion dollar bids on airlines, and they've had a track record of being the best private equity firm to make money in the airlines. David Bonderman is chairman of Ryanair, for example, which is the fastest growing. I think they make twice the profit of Southwest. So I think they see this market of business aviation substantially expanding. We brought to them a very revolutionary new model, how to do yield management to make, for example, allow us to fly 1,200 hours per year with almost zero deadheading, get paid for all 1,200 of those flight hours. And that equation turns this model upside down, allows us to essentially fly substantially more efficiently in the same ways that JetBlue and Southwest and other airlines under modern operational theory were able to fly more efficiently. So we see a very exciting opportunity to bring a much more efficient, you know, method, a much safer method of private travel to an industry that's already $30 billion in size.
Now, I am not intimately familiar with the details and specifications of the Challenger 300. Tell us, what are the attributes of this aircraft, and did you have an idea going into this that you'd have a ready-made clientele?
It is an excellent aircraft in the sense that we have the fast cabin in the Citation 10, and we have a large cabin in the Challenger 300. But what's excellent about both aircraft is they can do any mission coast to coast on the transcontinental United States without doing a stop, and they do that mission more efficiently than any other airplane does. So in that sense, it kind of gives us the best of both worlds.
All right. Now, part of your business model is predicated on a uniform fleet, both in maintenance and pilot training. Mm-hmm. I noticed in the press release you're going to run this as a separate business unit. Mm-hmm. Do you have a rolling start on this, or are you going to have to ramp up very quickly in terms of personnel?
Well, we do have a year before our first airplane is delivered. It actually gets delivered almost exactly a year from today. So it'll give us a chance to really build the infrastructure up. And we're going to take certain people, carve them out of our current operation, and build literally a new operation around the Challenger 300. But it's very important that everybody be focused on one mission and have carnal knowledge of that one aircraft, because everything is built around an aircraft type, and that's core to our strategy moving forward.
All right. So TPG has come in for 300 and how much?
143 million in debt and equity between Lehman Brothers and TPG, and then total raise was 363 million if you add the 220 million of lease financing also provided by Lehman.
Okay. And if I understand the way it works correctly, the rest of what you need to execute this will just be developed through cash flow and debt financing when the time comes?
Yeah, the operation is already cash flow positive. So our only source of capital and then thus need for capital is for deposit financing for the aircraft. That's essentially why we targeted this raise.
Well, Paul, you've done some big deals. I know that I think if someone had predicted coming into NBAA this week that the company that would make all the jaws drop was going to be ExoJet, people would have said Exo who, but they're not saying it anymore. I want to congratulate you again on an amazing start from the time you entered service in January last year till now. And we're going to watch with great interest, because what's next, a discount airline?
Well, we have accomplished a lot in the last 18 months, but we still have a lot to go. So we'll keep surprising, hopefully, faces every NBAA.
All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to grill your chief strategy officer here about what some of that may entail. And I know you have to catch a plane, although I don't know why.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Paul Tau is the chief executive officer of ExoJet. And we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with the guys from ExoJet. Yes, I know, again, just a few days after the first interview, they came up with another purchase, this time $1.9 billion for what will end up being a total of 80 Bombardier Challenger 300s to open a new business unit with a larger plane that otherwise emulates the success they've had with Cessna Citation 10s. Nick Sullinger is the company's Chief Strategy Officer. Now that I see what you guys have done this week, you must have had a really busy job description. I didn't really know what a CSO would do.
Well, I think, as I mentioned in our first interview, my job ends up being pretty applied, and this is one of the examples where it was. Our process to launch a new fleet was a comprehensive one that included, you know, nearly every person in management at the company. This isn't just a business strategy where we elect to offer a new program to customers. We had to think from top to bottom what it meant to introduce this new aircraft into our fleet. Our team that worked with Bombardier included flight operations, maintenance, safety, our sales team looking at the market segmentation and what features and what capabilities were the customers demanding. The marketing team analyzing what would it look like in our operation and how would we price it. It was a really comprehensive approach. And we were evaluating not just the iron, if you will, from Bombardier. It's a package deal. It's a partnership. And we wanted to know how would they be to work with. And we saw through the process that they'd be a great partner to work with. And that was a big element of our decision.
Now, I have to ask you something. When I was a young man, when I was a teenager, I was working as a mechanic. And there was a sign that the boss had put on the wall with the hourly shop rate. Now, this is going back a ways in inflationary terms, so hence the numbers are lower than they are now. But the sign said $25 per hour, $50 an hour if you watch, $100 an hour if you help. Now, how do you go to a company like Bombardier and say, you know, we're going to want to drop by and check up on our baby three or four times before it rolls off the assembly line? How do they respond to that?
As a manufacturer, when you make a commitment to the principles of Six Sigma and the principles of quality, like Bombardier has done, you don't hide from scrutiny. You don't hide from close examination of the product of your work. And you actually embrace the approaches that look into quality, look into performance, look into failure rates, inspections, and you try to be really transparent with those things. And you can see those principles across Bombardier's manufacturing process. They are a very, very open organization. They're integrated from manufacturing all the way through support, and they work just the way we work. So it was very natural.
Can you make any comparisons to your relationship with Cessna during the time a plane is being manufactured? Is it going to kind of be a seamless transition from a system you've been used to working with?
I think the biggest difference between the two will be adapting from a Wichita accent to a Montreal accent, perhaps. But when we work with the Dorval manufacturing facility with Bombardier, but you know, I think there are many things that are similar about the way they've structured and the way that we'll have our relationship. There obviously are going to be things that are very different as well. One of the things that we did when evaluating the Challenger 300 and evaluating other aircraft types in this category is I had my market research team go through and just call owners and ask for maintenance logs, flight logs, either verbally or even get copies of them just to see how does this plane performed. I found more than one Challenger 300 owner that had flown their airplane more than 700 hours without an unscheduled mechanical. And so while we anticipate that we'll be working you know, with the same tight integration, we frankly think we'll have less cause to work with Bombardier on service issues because of the proven reliability of this aircraft. It's just stellar. It's potentially unmatched in all of private aviation.
Well, now you guys have achieved, what, 99.5% on-time record. Do you expect that to be even better with Bombardier, or is it down to the point now where it's down to where you can't even get the human parts of the equation any lower?
We actually think it will move higher, that our on-time rating will move higher because of the reliability of the platform. We also think that the number of days of the year that the plane is available because of the maintenance protocol it has will be slightly higher also. So there are going to be some benefits in the model to the Challenger 300 in that respect. The Citation 10 is performing beautifully in our model. We certainly have no complaints at all about the reliability and performance of the aircraft. But the way Bombardier developed the Challenger 300 borrowed a lot from their regional jet experience, and some of that is very evident in the capabilities of the plane.
We did not talk about this in the first interview. How spread out is ExoJet? Where do you have facilities, and where are your planes based?
Sure. It's hard to say our planes are based anywhere except the air. And we like to refer to the home base as between 41 and 45,000 feet, which is where we like to fly them. We have two heavy maintenance facilities, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. Our East Coast base is Wilmington, Delaware, and our West Coast base is McClellan, California, just outside of Sacramento. Those are pilot domiciles. They're heavy maintenance bases for our big scheduled intervals that we do. We have kind of line maintenance facilities and customer gateways at Van Nuys Airport in the Los Angeles area, Teterboro Airport outside of New York, and we're just adding West Palm in Florida and working with Jet Aviation there.
Well, you guys have built an amazing company in a very short time, and it's fun to watch things, and it's fun to watch people when they're reading these press releases and then scrambling to find out more about ExoJet because they, frankly, you weren't maybe on the top of their radar, but you are now. Without giving us any specifics, are you looking at anything further and or bigger even than you are now in the future?
Well, you know, we're pretty focused on digesting the announcements we've made so far, and I think we're really flattered by all the attention that we've gotten at this show. Obviously, we wanted to generate interest in news around ExoJet, but I think it goes without saying that we're incredibly grateful to the industry for giving us this venue and this forum, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the partnerships that we have with all the people across the community of business aviation. Our business thrives because of the immense charter industry and charter broker industry. Our business thrives because of the support we get from Part 145 repair stations when our fleet's transient across the country. And our business thrives because of the fuelers and ground service providers. And so our announcements being here, while also wanting to generate attention for us, was as much to put a focus on the people that help us build our business. Regarding your question on next year, next year, we'll probably be putting a big focus on customer momentum. Where our sales for our Challenger 300 program will likely be in full swing at that time. We'll be announcing the pricing and terms of that product later this year, and expect to have good traction with that product by this time next year. And our Citation 10 program will be full steaming ahead. So, I think you'll probably see a focus on business results and customer success next year, as opposed to more fleet additions, because we've kind of filled up the order queues through 2012. And but you know, with the way business is accelerating, I can't rule out any.
Deliveries will start in about a year from today on the Challenger 300s. When will they all be in? When will you have all 80 planes? Your press release said you fully intended to take advantage of all the options.
Yes. Our expectation is to take delivery of every airplane that's in the release. The option structure was really to give ExoJet business flexibility to to adapt to the delivery schedule that we need for our business out into the future. Mm-hmm. And but it's every expectation of ours to take delivery of those aircraft and firm them up on the schedule that we negotiated with Bombardier. Regarding the timeline, it goes straight through the end of 2012. The 80th aircraft, I think, is scheduled for delivery December of 2012. And what our focus is alongside that is really building a process to scale. And what we've done over the past year is put that infrastructure in place that can allow us to just add pilots and mechanics and still maintain the culture that our initial cadre of pilots and flight operations staff and mechanics have built. That's the number one question I ask our chief pilot and DO and director of maintenance is, how will you keep doing this when there's 10 times as many people here? And the experience that they bring to it is how you keep a small company family feel as you grow organizationally. And it's a really innovative culture they built.
Well, a lot of innovation here, and we're going to look forward to following you with great interest. Nick, we appreciate your dropping by and elaborating on the second press release this week.
Thanks, Paul. And I'll keep you posted if there's any more big announcements. But I guarantee we won't be announcing anything else at the show.
Nick Solinger is the Chief Strategy Officer for ExoJet. They're based in California. They have a fleet which, by my rough count, is going to be at least 127 aircraft by the end of the year 2012. And they're in the business of flying business travelers around on business traveler schedules with a lot of flexibility. You can find out more at xojet.com. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.